Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been considering the subject of what is scriptural marriage and family life. This is our objective in this long series of messages, to help us discover how we can really have God-pleasing, God-honoring marriages. And these marriages, of course, would be according to the Word of God. They would be under the principles of the Word of God. They would be in obedience to the Word of God. So we've been considering this from a number of standpoints. We talked first of all of young people who are in a courtship relationship. Even before that, we talked of some of the ideals of the Christian life and the ideals of a Christian marriage. But then we talked of young people who are in this courtship relationship, how they should conduct themselves, how they may know the will of God. And now we've gotten into the husband-wife relationship and some of the things that are important in this husband-wife relationship. In our last message, we began to talk about some of the problems that affect Christian marriages. We call them strains in a Christian marriage. And I tried to emphasize to you that when we have a Christian marriage, no matter how perfect we are, no matter how perfectly matched we are with each other, we always are going to have some adjustments. But in some marriages, there are major adjustments. And the reason for these major adjustments is the fact they were not paying attention in the courtship relationship. In other words, they should have realized that when the differences between them were too great, they probably should never have gotten married in the first place. However, once they're married, they stay married, and with God's help, they work out the strains between them, these differences between them, which should have prevented them from getting married in the first place. Now, I want to take some more of these strains today, several of these that are most important for us to consider. First of all, today, I want to talk about the differences in spiritual maturity. Differences in spiritual maturity. Now, there will always be some differences in two people in their spiritual maturity. But sometimes the problem is not just that one is a new Christian and is in the baby state, so to speak, of the Christian life and is just growing in the Lord Jesus. The problem is they've been Christians and they have never grown. Perhaps they've been Christians over a long period of time and they simply have never grown in the Christian life. Their Christian lives have remained stagnant. In fact, they may even be farther away than they were in earlier years from close fellowship with the Lord Jesus and from obedient walk with Him. Now, this can be a major problem in a marriage relationship. For instance, suppose now when they were about to get married, it seemed as though they both were striving to have more mature spiritual lives. But then once they got married, the marriage partner discovered that either the man or the woman was not what they thought him or her to be. In other words, this person was perhaps only trying to get married to you, but the person was not really sincere in saying that they were going to grow in the Lord Jesus. The promises they made were not kept. Perhaps they never intended them to be kept, but nevertheless, they were not kept. And so now you find that there are major differences in spiritual maturity. One really wants to read the Word of God daily. One wants to have family worship. I know some women have spoken to my wife and myself how they long for their husband to be a spiritual leader in the home, how they long for their husband to lead family worship, how they long for their husband to have a burden in leading their own children to the Lord and everything. And they simply have not found this in their marriage relationship, and it's broken their hearts, because their husband is not what he should be in the marriage relationship. Now, to be fair, this can be true either of the husband or the wife. The wife may have very materialistic ideas about life. She may have strivings for popularity and other things. She may have many desires outside the home so that she's not a good wife and a mother. And spiritually, it just seems as though one or the other cannot be corrected, or they're not willing to be corrected. Now, this is not an insurmountable problem, but it can be a very great problem in the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 speaks again of the wife who is the more spiritual of the two in the marriage relationship. And in verses 2 and 3, this person apparently has been a Christian for some years, is married to a disobedient person, and this person nevertheless has an opportunity to see this person come into a better spiritual relationship. And so this problem is difficult, especially difficult, I would say, if the wife is the one who is the more spiritually mature. The ideal is for the husband to be the spiritual leader and to be in advance, and I say this advisedly, but to be the more spiritual of the two in the marriage relationship. Because in God's plan, the husband is to be the leader of the home. The husband is to be the spiritual example. He's to be the influence upon the wife and upon the children. Ideally, this is a scriptural picture. So it's more difficult if the wife is in this position rather than the husband. It is going to require great sensitivity on her part, great gentleness on her part, great submission on her part in every way, if the husband is going to be brought to the place where he should be, especially if she is the one who is the more spiritual. Now, God does give us some direction in this problem and in the solving of the problem before God. First of all, if the wife is the one, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 to 16, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. If the husband is the more spiritual in the relationship, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gives us some answers in this, that the unspiritual wife, or in this case, the unspiritual husband, can be won by the example and the testimony of the other person. Now, the question would be, when a person is not very spiritual, does this mean that they are unteachable and unreachable with spiritual things? Sometimes not. Sometimes we can honestly say, this person has simply never been taught. Person has never been instructed. He's never been led in any way. Some people actually may have a very tender spirit concerning this. They would be willing to change if they could just find the right way, God's way of changing, and they would be willing to be more spiritual. And so if a person has a teachable spirit, this person can change, and especially if the person has a submissive spirit to God. In other words, I'm willing to learn from God and to be the man or the woman that God wants me to be. If this is not true, if the one does not have a teachable spirit, then it's simply going to have to be by example and by influence of the other person, living a quiet, submissive, gentle, humble, spiritual life before God. It's going to have to be the example and the influence of the other person. And this may be the only solution in such a case, especially if they're not even willing to pray with the other person about the problem. Another problem in a marriage relationship has to do with differences in ability to adapt. Differences in ability to adapt. Some people tend to be very willful, very stubborn. They know the lives they want to live. They know who they are. They know who they want to be. And they want to continue in that way. The idea of adapting to a marriage relationship is beyond them. In other words, they just feel, this is who I am, this is who I want to be, leave me alone, or don't try to change me. Now, marriage is an adaptation problem. It is for anyone getting married. I remember before I was married, I was a seminary president there in the Philippines. I had just been appointed the year before I was married, before I went home on furlough and married my wife, and I had just been appointed, and then I was reappointed when I came back as a missionary again with my wife. And I remember the adaptation that was necessary in my life. I could no longer be at the seminary 18 hours a day as I had been before, carrying on the work of the seminary, leading the seminary, teaching classes, counseling students, counseling faculty members, and so forth. I could no longer do this. I now had a wife. And God had to teach me very quickly. I had to adapt to the marriage relationship. And then, of course, when children come, there is adapting that has to go on. And again, the problem is when people have a difficulty in adapting. They have never adapted to anyone else or to anything else in life. and they have this difficulty in adapting to anyone or anything. They're going to have to submit themselves and give up their stubborn ways and their willful ways, and to be willing to make the adaptation they need to make in life in order to succeed. And this includes the marriage relationship. Now, this person who has difficulty in adapting is probably going to have difficulty in a work relationship with his workmates, in other words. Or if he's in a school, he's going to have difficulty as a teacher in a school, working with fellow teachers and administrators and so forth. Some people cannot work under authority. They have this problem throughout their lives, men and women alike. They've never been used to working under authority. And the difficulties of adapting to authority are great, great difficulties. Now, in a marriage relationship, this person can change. In other words, through prayer and through a good testimony and example by the one who is gentler, one who has a more humble spirit, one who is willing to adapt, this person can be changed. If the person is at all willing to change, this person can change. They can change habits. They can change ways of looking at things. They can change attitudes. They can change everything in their lives, including their actions, if they have a willing spirit at all. And if they don't have a willing spirit, this problem is going to have to be solved simply through prayer and, again, by example. Here's another one. The willingness to accept the proper role in the marriage relationship. The proper role in the marriage relationship. Now, the Bible is very clear about this, even though some people resent the roles that God has set forth in the Word of God. Some people resent these things, and they have very great difficulty in accepting their proper role in the marriage relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5, the role of the husband and the wife is very clear. In Ephesians 5, the husband is to be the leader of the home. He is to be the spiritual leader. He is to be the leader in decision-making and everything. It does not mean the husband is going to be a dictator. I've tried to emphasize this again and again in this series of messages. This is not a scriptural teaching that a husband can be a dictator. Nevertheless, he is to be the leader. And the word that's used for the wife, and this offends many wives, but the word that is used for the wife is that she is to submit herself to her husband. She is to submit herself to her husband. Now, this is not simply mutual submission. One person put it like this in a book. Well, it's mutual submission. In other words, Christ submits to us, and we submit to Christ. No, Christ does not submit to us. Christ is our King, our Master, our Lord. You cannot say He submits to us. And so, in the marriage relationship, a wife has to accept that she is to submit to the leadership of her husband. On the other hand, the husband is to be this loving, tender, kind-hearted husband that God wants him to be. This is the rest of Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 25 down to verse 33. He is to be this tender, loving husband, but he is still to be the leader. Now, what can a person do? Well, first of all, submit to God Himself in this whole matter. In other words, no matter what I think or what I feel, or what the women's liberation movement might say, the feminist movement we say, some call it the radical feminist movement. No matter what they might say, nevertheless, I accept God's teaching on this subject. My husband and I are not to compete with each other. Rather, we are to have the right relationship in the marriage relationship under God. We're to have a relationship that pleases God, a relationship that's according to the Word of God. And so I submit myself in this whole matter, and I'm willing to do everything God wants me to be. And if this is not the case, if a person is not willing to submit, if they have this proud, arrogant spirit, again, it's going to have to be through the patient, tender, loving example and influence of the marriage partner. And much prayer can go into this as well. In other words, help my wife to be everything she should be. Help my husband to be everything he should be. I need the leader, my husband is not yet the leader, and I pray that God will give me such a spiritual leader in the home. Let me just suggest one tiny little thing, and you can talk about this and you can think about this yourselves. Differences in church background, church practice, doctrinal beliefs and biblical conditions. Isn't that a mouthful to swallow? In other words, sometimes this is true. People marry whose church backgrounds are very, very different. Now, my purpose is not to be critical on the air of anyone's beliefs or practices or anything that they believe in their own church. My purpose is simply to say, when the differences are too great, there are going to be problems in a marriage relationship. And there's going to be tension there and conflict there. We have to be very careful before we're ever married that we're marrying someone of like faith and practice, so there will not be this tension in our marriage relationship. And once we're married, we have to try to work this out so that one of the two will change and be everything God wants him to be. I need to stop now, but I want to leave these suggestions with you for strains in the marriage relationship. We'll be taking something else in the future. But may God help you to be everything in your marriage that God wants you to be, and to make whatever adjustments might be necessary in your marriage relationship so that there'll be harmony and unity between you and your spouse. May the Lord bless you, each one.